Time for our weekly check-in with Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston. Hello there, Kyle.
Hey, what's up, Rich? How you doing today, man?
I'm doing all right. I'm still trying to get over last night's game. That was a frustrating one last night. Nobody was more aptly named, apparently, than Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, give Bam credit, man. He made one of the all-time great blocks, a game-saving block. And, you know, I do applaud Tatum for taking it to the hole on that play. But Bam just made an excellent play. It's, you know, that was a heartbreaker last night. You thought even when it went into overtime, you thought, all right, the Celtics, you know, now's their time. They got this. And give Bam credit, man. The Heat are going to be a tough out, Rich. This isn't going to be an easy series.
Not at all. And so was it the Miami defense that made it such an unusual thing last night for the Celtics to get the ball in the paint?
Yeah, a little bit. Give Miami credit. Their perimeter defense is extremely good. You know, we're talking about guys like Jay Crowder, Jimmy Butler. You could throw Iguodala in there. But I also thought their guards did a good job. And so, you know, a lot of people are talking about, you know, why are the Celtics settling for threes late? Give the Heat some credit. You know, they're a top four, top five defensive team down there in Orlando since the restart. And so, like I said before, this is a hard playing team and nothing's going to come easy. This, you know, I feel like you can't win this series by trying to be cute and pretty. You really have to get down in the mud and get dirty and make some of the hustle plays that we saw the Celtics make in game seven against the Raptors. It's going to be another one of those kind of series.
Absolutely. What's going on with Kemba Walker?
I don't know, Rich. You know, he just doesn't look right to me. You know, one thing I've noticed, he's not getting by anybody. You know, his only offense now that he can count on is a step-back jumper or maybe a three coming off the screen. But he's not blowing by anybody. He's not getting into the paint. He's not getting to the rim anymore. And so he's having to work hard for all his points out there. And so I wonder if that knee is bothering him a little bit. He does seem a step slow to me. I mean, he's still herky-jerky. He still has the handles and everything, but it's just not as effective as we saw earlier in the playoffs.
You tweeted about this earlier this afternoon. Gordon Hayward has been updated to doubtful for Game 2. Do you think we'll see him tomorrow night?
I don't think so. I'm looking more towards Game 3 on Saturday for Gordon Hayward. But, you know, I hope it's not a case where they're desperate, right? Where, you know what, oh, man, we need Gordon Hayward because you don't want the guy to come back and then re-aggravate the ankle. With that being said, they need Gordon Hayward, you know. Mm. So, especially with him, but not 100% and not playing well right now. You know, there was a stretch in that game. I think it was the second quarter. The Celtics were up, and then they go to the bench, and the Heat make a comeback. And the Heat are a deeper team, and so you need all your weapons. And Gordon Hayward, I think, can help them out, not only scoring, but also, you know, facilitating, too.
What do you think the Celtics might and should change up for tomorrow night?
I think, you know, let's talk about defense, right? I mean, Miami shot 47% for the game, 44% from three. I think they have to do a better job of on-ball defense, guarding your man, guarding your yard. Don't let guys get by you. So what happens is, you know, a guy will get beat, and then you're in rotation, and then Miami gets an open look at a three. Give the Heat credit, though. They made an adjustment. You know, they're a big-time three-point shooting team. But they also did damage in the paint yesterday. I think the Celtics were sort of overplaying the three to an extent at some point in that game, and that allowed the Heat to get backdoor cuts, get layups in the paint. And so you just got to be more technically sound, I think, guarding the ball. You know, I don't think you make any major adjustments or anything like that because we saw this. First quarter, they give up 18 points. Third quarter, they give up 16, I think it was. And so, you know, we've seen, you know, them play good defense, but they just got to do it more consistently.
Kyle Draper with us here on Downtown. Maybe I'm showing my age. Well, I'm definitely showing my age on this, but man, nothing drives me crazier than this. And the Celtics aren't the only ones that do it, but 20 seconds, 22 seconds left in a quarter or in the game, you got the ball and there's no play. It's just a dribble for 17 seconds and then make a one-on-one move or fire one up from three. That makes me crazy.
Yeah, and I don't think Brad Stevens drew it up like that. I don't understand that either, you know. And it happened not just with Tatum. It was Kemba Walker also. And I do remember having a conversation with Doc Rivers about this several years ago. And I asked Doc, I said, why do so many teams go to this isolation basketball instead of running plays which got you the lead in the first place, you know? And he said, well, one thing is you want to make sure your best player has the ball in his hands and is making the decision.
Right.
I understand that, Rich. Don't you run a play to get it? You know, you don't have to, you know, have him stand out there for 20 seconds and then make a decision. And so I understand having the ball in your best player's hand so he can make a decision. But, you know, I say get some movement, get some ball movement, you know, even some misdirection, you know, to ultimately get it into your best player's hand instead of, you know, a stagnant offense where everybody's just standing around. And that's the thing. You know, even with Tatum dribbling the ball for 18 seconds, that doesn't mean the other guys can't move, can't cut, can't set screens. You know, it was everybody just standing around watching it, and that's not going to beat the Miami Heat.
Kyle, what do you think of this Western Conference series now that we know it'll be the Nuggets and the Lakers?
Yeah, how about that? Give the Nuggets credit. I was watching the end of that game last night. I still can't believe the Clippers folded like that, up 3-1. But I think, you know, we've been doubting the Nuggets all season long, all playoffs long. I still got the Lakers, though, right? I mean, you got LeBron, you got AD. I say Lakers in six. But would it shock me if the Nuggets, you know, pushed it to a seven? I mean, maybe they're a team of destiny. You know, things are going right for them. They're playing a super high. Jokic is great. Jamal Murray, Kentucky kid, he's playing awesome. And so I'm excited. I'm shocked, though, that it's not Lakers Clippers right now.
Oh, me too. Now, let's shift to football for a moment here. The debut of Cam Newton probably couldn't have gone any better for the Patriots.
Yeah, exactly. Cam did everything you wanted him to do, right? I mean, he, you know, all the passes were short passes, but he completed most of them. You know, he showed off, you know, his scrambling ability, ability to run. I was a little surprised that the Patriots relied so much on the ground game. I think, 19 attempts passing and 42 rushes, maybe,
right,
something like that. And I wonder if it'll be like that the entire season, or as we go on, Cam becomes more familiar with the system, his receivers. Are we going to see them put the ball in his hands and have him make some plays throwing the ball?
A little tougher this week, guys. They travel to take on the Seahawks, so we'll see what happens if they are able to diversify that offense a little bit more against Seattle.
Yeah. I think you're going to need more than 21 points, too, to beat the Seahawks. You know, Russell Wilson is an MVP candidate. I actually have the Seahawks making it to the Super Bowl this year. I feel like Wilson is going to be able, you know, he's going to be the best quarterback, I think, in the NFC. I think this is his year. After a couple of down years as a team, I just think, you know what, I just got this sneaky feeling Seattle's going to be there at the end. And so it's going to be a tough game. You know, good to see the defense playing well, but that's against Ryan Fitzpatrick in week one. You know, this is a whole different league you're playing on Sunday Night Football, but I'm excited for it.
Not many bright spots for the Red Sox in this weird season, but last night certainly won. What an impressive debut for young pitcher Tanner Houck.
Yeah, and you know, it was announced he's pitching again, Saturday, I think it is,
right.
I saw. And so, you know, maybe you have something going forward, you know. Who was he, a first-round draft pick a couple of years ago? And so that's one thing they need, right, is pitching. And, you know, this season is pretty much a wash, obviously. But if you can identify one or two arms, whether it's in the bullpen or in the rotation, to carry into next season, hopefully you get Chris Sale back healthy. Hopefully Eduardo Rodriguez is healthy. And then you have if he can continue on. And then you're starting to piece it together. I think that's what this season is about, Rich. More of a fact-finding mission. You know, which young players are we going to be able to count on going forward?
Are you on tonight, Kyle, or are you home powering up so you'd be at full strength for game two?
I am on tonight at 6:30 with Trini, our Bella Early Edition. You know I had to vent about last fall, so they said, Drake, we need you. So we're going to get into it and break down exactly what went wrong last night against the Miami Heat.
We'll be watching tonight and, of course, tomorrow night for game two. Kyle, we thank you as always. Enjoy the game tomorrow night. Have a great week, and we'll check in next Wednesday.
Okay, Rich, talk to you soon, man.
That is Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston here on Downtown.